Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep with your host, Joel Elkanen.
This is a volatile puppy here, isn't it?
And Dennis Dick.
I've bitten a penny. I will buy the stock for a penny.
With everything you need to start your trading day. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep. Spencer Israel, Joel Elkanen. What's on the docket for today? Well, we have some earnings that are interesting. We have some Capitol Hill testimonies that are interesting. But the big story of the morning, or the one that I feel like we have to talk about, even though I'm sick and tired of it, is Elon Musk and the SEC. The saga continues round 97 or whatever round this is between the two of them. I don't particularly want to discuss it, but I almost feel like we have to. So we'll probably start off with that, and then we'll go into some earnings. I mentioned the testimony we have today. We have Powell, and we also have a number of big healthcare names testifying as far as drug pricing is concerned. And we have some interesting ratings as well in Caterpillar, CenturyLink, Foot Locker, and a few others. Our guest today will be Nick Shaheen. He will join us at 8:35. He's our options guru. In the meantime, though, Joel, give us a quick word on what's happening in the overnight session.
All right. We're trading in the red by five handles. We closed yesterday. We closed at 27.97. That's going to be my number for the day and maybe for the remainder of the week. That's our high close of the move. So 5 points away, I'm going to call that good resistance. On the downside, we poked our head through my weekly number at 84.5, went to 83.25. That's our next target on the downside if we go into retreat here. A close under 84.50, and I will turn fully negative for the week. Crude touched the bottom of that old trading range, 55.02, back up 14 cents at 55.62, trying to recover from the Trump tweet yesterday. Gold in the red by 270 at 13.25.80. Silver in the red by 6 cents here at 15.87. And that breakout over 4,000 has yet to materialize yet in Bitcoin, trading down $40 at 33,770. That's the SIBO futures. So let's get right to it. Do you want to do the Macy's beat or Tesla tweet?
Macy's is always out at 8. I do tend to forget that. So that's a good report. But let's do Tesla first, and then we'll run through the earnings report. So if you recall, last week we talked about this. Elon Musk on the evening of February 19th tweeted that Tesla is going to make around 500,000 cars in 2019. Several hours later, he corrected that fact to say, oh, he meant to say their annualized production rate at the end of the year will be around 500,000 cars, because they had previously guided they would deliver about 400,000 cars. The following morning, their head counsel resigned, and now we have the SEC asking a judge to hold Elon Musk in contempt of court for violating their agreement in which Elon must submit his tweets for vetting or for approval, I guess, prior to tweeting, which he apparently did not do with this production tweet from last week, the evening of the 19th. So that's the news here. I don't even know.
Would it be like really easy for him just to delete his Twitter account? Would that be a suggestion here? I mean, that's the only suggestion I have here. Boy, oh boy. They hit it hard. And I guess Tesla's shareholder, yeah, it's bad news. You traded $9 here. But the good news is you're quite a bit off the low. You're $7 off the low of 282.39, just kind of hanging out here just under 290. So if you go into retreat, yeah, that 282.39, let's just see it comes into play. But it looks like buyers have stepped up since then. The number on the dailies, this is going back to January, 279.28. So down but not out for Tesla, and we'll see what happens. To get green on the session, though, or to fill the gap from yesterday, it needs to get back to 297. But, man, hard to own. I'm glad Dennis is not in this stock, because he would just – it would be driving him crazy. It's just so hard with all the news and negative news here. So we'll see if it can recover from today's sell-off.
And now this morning we have Elon tweeting more about, or last night, just about, you know, the bias of the SEC. And, you know, maybe the SEC, you know, is biased, but maybe they're not, maybe they are. But both of these things can be true. The SEC can be biased and Elon Musk can be wrong. Those both can be true. So,
yeah.
You know, I don't know. This is not going to end anytime soon. It seems like they're in a petty dog fight now. So I don't know. I feel like if you're going to trade this thing, at least be aware that these things are going to happen, because, you know,
there's still 500,000 cars. I mean, come on. Is that something to even shake a stick at? I mean, I don't know. But anyways, the Tesla bait continues, and see if we get back over 300 here. But do you want to go right to this Macy's report?
Yes,
we
I
had
do.
Some bang up earnings after the close yesterday. Where would you want to start?
Let's go start with Macy's here. So their report is out at 8 a.m. was out at 8 a.m. Eastern time here, right as the show is starting. Q4 EPS for Macy's, $2.73 versus a $2.53 estimate. Sales of $8.45 billion is in line with that estimate. So it's EPS beat and inline sales for the Q4 in Macy's. Did they give any guidance real fast? Not that I'm seeing. I'm sure they may have, but I don't see guidance off the top here. So that's all they got on the Macy's number.
Big old range on that bar when it came out. I'll give you those early parameters, 2346 to 2570. But it was trading up like 40, 50 cents before the report. That's where it's trading now. A couple levels to keep an eye on the downside. New low of the move yesterday, or did it match it there? 2395, 2406. So 24, that's been the low of the move. That's your major support. Coming back on the upside here, let me give you a better level. Let's go 25 and a half. I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 highs right in that area. So 24 to 25 and a half, that's my predicted trading range for Macy's today after earnings.
Are we getting any sympathy pops here in other retailers looking around?
Man, it's kind of flat. It's trading up, but it was up before the report. You got Kohl's up 99 cents here, okay. 66.85. Target trading up 25 cents at 73.35 here. So kind of muted reaction, but a lot of price discovery still going on here in Macy's, I think, for longer term after that disastrous report and the stance that I've been taking with people that want to own this stock. You know, let it get back over this, at least that area from the last earnings report, 26.78, 26.83, maybe over 27. It gets to show some strength and get into that gap. But right here, all you're doing is bottom fishing here at 24.
All right. We had a number of other interesting earnings from overnight. This is probably the last week where there's more than like 10 or so interesting earnings reports throughout the week. So let's get to some of these right now here. Looking at my upscanner, I see among my leaders this morning is Etsy. Their report after the close yesterday was a good one. Q4 EPS, 32 cents versus a 21 cent estimate for ETSY, and their sales of $200 million versus a $194 million estimate. So a beat on the top and the bottom line in the Q4 for Etsy. Their fiscal year 19 adjusted EBITDA guidance came in higher than expected, and their sales guidance came in higher than expected. So overall, a beat for Etsy.
You ever bought anything on Etsy?
No.
You ever been to the site?
Like once.
Okay. Well, obviously a lot of people have. Your initial spike took you here to, where'd the initial spike on the report? Took you all the way up to 66.60. You've backed off a buck 60 from that area. That blows away the all-time high. Former all-time high, 60.58. So if you're buying this on the open, playing it for a run-up here, really the only thing I can give you is that pre-market high at 66.60. And you've been, since that 4 a.m. open, you've been finding support. Let's call it 63.75, but I call that minor support.
Have you ever been to Etsy or bought anything on Etsy?
Hell no, you know me. You know, it's artsy stuff, right?
Yeah, they're really good for, like, you know, presents, you know, for your better half, anniversary, birthday. They're really good for that stuff. I've never been on there, but I would potentially. I'm a potential customer.
A lot of people are. I don't think Lisa's ever been on there, but they're doing good here. My opinion doesn't matter. The street's opinion matters. They like to report up 579 and what were some of the other stocks that had reports and they just gapped up higher and just kept on going? So this looks like it's going to be the big gainer for the day.
Or among them, joining the likes of Hertz. What got into these car rental companies? We had Avis Budget last week with a huge report. And Hertz we had yesterday. And their report, Q4 adjusted EPS, 55-cent loss versus a 90-cent loss estimate. So they beat that. Sales, $2.29 billion versus $2.15 billion. So they beat on the sales and they beat on the adjusted EPS, though they still lost 55 cents. But still, stock popped, although it is leaking.
Yeah, I don't know if it's as much, the people actually renting the cars, but they sell a lot of cars. So, you know, maybe they picked up some extra cash that way. Straight up, after the report, right up to 22.71, and basically, someone's had their foot on the gas here, on the sell side here, step down seller, and now that seller is come down to the 21.65 area, so just lowering offers. So far, since it hit that 22.70, someone's been lowering offers. So nice seller lurking out there. I don't think we've been in the 20 handle in quite some time. So following the good report here, as of now, looks like a seller's got a hold of this thing, guiding it a little bit lower. To get down to the top of yesterday's range, you need to get under $20. 1984 was yesterday's high. And, you mentioned the car report. I mean, that thing's just been chugging along, too. It had the gap and go has continued to move higher. So not a bad area to be in.
Mallinckrodt, your drug manufacturer, reported also they had earnings here this morning. Q4 EPS, $2.18 versus $1.92 estimate, sales of $834 versus $636 million. So a big sales beat and an EPS beat in the Q4 for Mallinckrodt. Their fiscal year EPS guidance was also higher by about $1, $8 versus $7. And that's all in all a great report.
Kind of the same situation as you had here with HTZ. You did have the pop over $25 for a couple brackets, but that seller at 25 has stepped down here. He's just printed 23 here. So others use that 25 as resistance. It's now it's $2.10 away. So you could have a situation here where, you know, the high of the pre-market stands is the high of the day. If you're just going off daily charts, 23.12 was an area of interest on February 5th, and we are still below that. So 23.12, and if we can work our way through that, perhaps get up to the pre-market high for MNK. And then, you know, that also has some other things to be dealing with today on the Hill, right?
Yep, and we'll get to that later in the show, but I want to run through the earnings first. We're almost done with them. J.M. Smucker. Well, Joel, you said it on the pre-market show. I guess no one's buying ketchup because they're buying jelly? I don't know. James Smucker reported earnings this morning here, and they were good. Q3 EPS, $2.26 versus a $2.02 estimate. Sales, $2.01 billion versus a $1.99 billion estimate. So a slight sales beat and EPS beat for James Smucker in the third quarter. They also reaffirmed their guidance, their EPS guidance for the fiscal year and their sales guidance for the fiscal year. So I guess because it wasn't horrible like Kraft Heinz, it was good, but.
Yeah, this thing got just roasted on the Kraft Heinz news here. And when it went to 106 from 106.77 down to 101.42, you got a pop. The pop was even higher than this, Spencer, 110.90. whew, that's your pre-market high. You backed off a few dollars in this one. Boy, I don't know. This is just a reset here. So all the people that, sat through that decline a few days ago, I see a couple highs in the 107 handle. We are above that. So I use 107 as support to go up and retest that pre-market high. But I don't know, just a lot. I wonder if people are thinking, you know, after that big decline on what was that, on Thursday or Friday, to get it all back in one earnings report is interesting. So food companies going in different directions. If you pull up a longer term chart, though, it has not been good for SJM. On the monthlies, if you're a little bit longer term and you want to look at monthly charts, no major resistance until you get to your November high of 115.45, but I don't think that's going to come into play today.
I'm just looking through some of Smucker's brands. Joel, you can tell me if you buy any of these. Do you buy Smucker's jelly?
I've seen it in our refrigerator.
That's a good one. But do you buy Jif peanut butter?
Spencer, you know that we are the only team on Wall Street that are both allergic to peanut butter.
Oh, I forgot you were as well. That's right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So,
okay.
Never had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Hey. that makes two of us. Do you buy Crisco? Probably.
I think Lisa would use like maybe a like that. That's like the heavy oil for cooking and stuff.
Yeah.
I think she probably uses like some organic spray or something like that. So I have not seen Crisco in the house in a long time.
Do you buy Folgers? I don't think anyone buys Folgers.
I don't like Folgers or Maxwell House. If you're a coffee drinker, you like strong coffee, I highly recommend the Colombian coffee at Costco.
Okay.
I guess you don't want to hear what I'm doing all besides the SJM, but good coffee at Costco, I tell you.
All right, those are the only names, the only brands of theirs that I honestly really recognize. So let's move on. I've had enough of Smucker's.
You're trying to get me to short the stock or something?
I'm not trying to do anything. Let's go to Home Depot. I'm now moving down from my up filters of the day to my down filters of the day. Home Depot is on that down filter. They had earnings this morning. Q4 EPS, $2.25 versus a $2.16 estimate. So it beat their sales of $26.49 versus $26.57 billion. So a slight sales miss to go with the EPS beat in the Q4. So a mixed report there. They also reported announced a $15 billion buyback, and their fiscal year EPS guidance was around $10 for the year.
I don't think this one's done on the downside yet, even though we're trading down 638. Your pre-market low comes in at 182.70. And you did have some bounces here, but you're just leaking again going towards that pre-market low. So I think you could be a little bit more patient here. 183.60. Let's see if I can find anything. I do see a pair of lows at 182.75 area. I'd use that more to cover short than trying to initiate a long. You actually had three lows in that area. So if you're looking for a bounce, perhaps it will come from 182.60. Sellers were ganging up this thing, street leaning the right way ahead of the report. A bunch of highs at 192.5, and then yesterday it poked its head to 193.42. But on the fade now, kind of breaking down here for Home Depot. Let's take a look at LOW, lows trading in sympathy. That got hit as well, and that reports tomorrow. So both stocks have had some nice rallies. Actually, Lowe's is much closer to its all-time high than Home Depot. So we'll see if Lowe's follows the trends with Home Depot tomorrow.
Also on my down filter, though, on light volume this morning here is Shake Shack, where I may be going for lunch today. But they had earnings after the bell yesterday, and they were okay. Q4 adjusted EPS beat, 6 cents versus 3 cents, so a modest beat there. The sales for the quarter were $124 million versus $118 million. So that's a good Q4 number. They beat on the EPS. They beat on the sales. The fiscal year sales guidance, however, was a little bit light. The range they gave was $570 to $576 million. $576 was the estimate. So a little bit light on that fiscal year sales guidance here for Shake Shack. I mean, it's no longer this super high growth story.
Are you really going for lunch, or did you just say that?
No, I actually might.
Yeah? Are you going to get the burger or the chicken thing?
I haven't thought that far ahead.
Okay. All right. The pop and the drop off the Shack. If you had your offers out, you might have gotten filled all the way up to 57 even. Big range on that first bracket. 49.17 to 57 even. Just kind of settling in here at 51. It seems to be that's your pre-market resistance at 51. On the daily charts, let's see if we can find something here. We got something right at 50 even. But underneath that, maybe you're going to get a look at the lower 49 handle. Let's call it 49.20 or 40. That's 20. 49.30. That splits the pair of lows from February 5th and 6th. But they gave some not so hot guidance, right? Is that what's hitting it this morning?
It was the sales guidance they gave was a little bit light.
Yeah, they did. Okay. All right. Let's move on here.
Couple more on my earnings list to discuss. I'm not sure if these are moving at all yet, but Discovery Communications, there's DISCA and DISCB. Q4 EPS, 82 cents versus a 79 cent estimate. Sales of 2.8 billion versus 2.84 billion. So a slight sales miss and slight EPS beat for Discovery.
Let's see here. I'll let the street decide this one. Still trading up 29 cents. My big focus will be that high of the move from yesterday, 29.69. Man, a bunch of closes here in 29, too. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 closes right here. So I use 29 as support, and then 29.69, that's the high of the move. I want to address a question here from Nalen. Do you find the most relevant support resistance level based the range from the previous few days, or how far back are you looking? Definitely the dailies. You know, I'm looking off the dailies. When I do my levels for whether it's the SPOOs or stocks, I'm looking at your daily highs and lows. I'm looking for your triple tops, your triple bottoms. And then the longer that stocks move, you know, if they move out of their range and they move into, you know, uncharted territory, you know, then you have to go back to the weeklies. But I would say to answer that question, you know, I'm focusing on the dailies, you know, going back 3, 5, 7 days, as far as back as I have to go. And then the more the stock moves out of a particular range, of course, then you got to go to your weekly and your monthlies. And the same concept stands there. If you have, you know, weekly highs and monthly highs, you know, at the same area, signifying double tops or triple tops. So just wanted to address that question here. S&Ps are hanging in a 27.90 handle. We're only down 550 so far. We haven't made an attempt at the close yet. So keep folks trading the March S&P 27.97. That was a high close for the move and your close from yesterday.
The final earnings report that I really had wanted to hit on, it was AutoZone, and I know we don't always love to discuss these really expensive stocks, but it is moving here this morning. AZO, their Q2 EPS from this morning, $11.49 versus a $9.99 estimate. Sales of $2.45 billion is in line. So an EPS beat and sales in line for the Q2. Their comps were up about 2.5% on a year-over-year basis. And they need to like do an offering or something, or a split or something here.
Exactly. This thing is wasn't this supposed to be dead because of Amazon? Wasn't this another Amazon killer?
Maybe.
That's when they cut the stock, took it $500, and now it's double, blowing away the former all-time high. The former all-time high was $926.75. So that's $40 away. That's support. If you're looking for the pre-market highs, a potential exit, 977, and at this point, you know, it's just going to be a $1,000 stock. I don't know. If it is, it will have to do it without me on both the long side and the short side. Isaac's asking about STMP from yesterday, and man, I did not notice that this matched Friday's low in the pre-market yesterday. One of my traders pointed that out to me. That would have been a good buy. It's worth, you know, there's a green candle off that very, very ugly day. 15 points. If you're looking for a swing trade, I think you gotta go down to that low of the move at 82.40. I know you're a ways away from that. On the upside, you want to see continued upside. Take out yesterday's high at 1.0072, and then you just got this massive gap to fill here. If you're looking to pick this up on a retreat, you feel like you missed the bottom here. And I'm not saying that 1.0072 is going to be the high of the move, but 92 would be support.
Are we on? We're on all stamps now, just now.
Yeah, okay. Sorry, okay. I kind of switched kind of fast. Okay. Yeah, okay. STMP. You need 1.0072 for continued follow through. If that holds as a recent high and a pullback to 92.93, I think I'd be a little bit more interested on the long side. But a little bit of a recovery Friday debacle.
Little bit is I think a stretch, but speaking of moves from a couple of days ago or yesterday, look at this move in GE. I mean, we talked about it on yesterday's show, and it hit the high, and you know, I think I asked you yesterday if the fact, you know, we discussed that $12 level right there at whatever time that was.
You had to be quick.
Yeah.
To get that level. It was a pretty much big fade in GE. If 11:57 open and then you made one quick attempt, at the $12 level, turned back at 11:70 and change, just profit taking. I mean, how often are you going to get a chance to have that kind of windfall if you had options, any kind of call options? So they came in and they sold that off, trading down 9 cents today. I think I just would have to be patient, and there's gap on top of gap on this one, but very hard to find support between yesterday's low at 10.78 and Friday's high at 10.18. Coming back on the upside here. Let's see if they stack up at 11 now. All the people that missed 12, maybe 11. Maybe 11 would be the key number there, but not great that it faded, but if you look at the the historical significance of it moving that much, not a big surprise that some profit takers came in that dog.
And still, for a stock that thick, still the big move, right?
I think I talked about this before the open. I mean, you had all that stock in the book, right?
Right.
We closed at, 10.17. We had trouble at 10.40 last week. Sellers at 10.50. Whatever, all the way up, sellers at 11, sellers at 11.50. So no matter what buyers you were getting on the open, you had to satisfy all those sellers. And it opened up, I'm not sure what the New York print, 11.57, perhaps there was a huge offer at 11.60 that he didn't want to fill, he or she didn't want to fill off the open. So 290 million shares. You just couldn't find the buyers, whatever the initial buyers were off the open. I don't know if that was shorts getting blown out or buy stops, but, just think about it. When you're looking at stocks like GE, like how much in a regular session, I mean, it did trade a lot in the pre-market, but how much volume would you need in the regular session, to move GE up from 10.17 to 11.75. But interesting move here, now kind of in the middle of no man's land. Didn't quite get a double. You came up with a number yesterday, right? What a double was off that 666 low. So nice move in GE. It's just too bad it faded.
All right, it is 8:30 here. We're going to bring on our guest, Nick Shaheen, in about 5 minutes, but I want to take this time to talk about healthcare as a whole. We touched on Mallinckrodt this morning earlier because of their earnings report, but a number of healthcare execs are going to be testifying this morning on Capitol Hill. We have execs from AstraZeneca, Bristol-Myers, Johnson & Johnson, AbbVie, Merck, Pfizer, Sanofi, all testifying in a hearing on drug pricing. And you know, obviously we don't know what will be said exactly, but we know they're going to, Congress will take aim at these companies for why their prices are so high. And the question becomes, do you think the sentiment is going to be like it was in 2015, 2016, when the street was really nervous about healthcare pricing? And we saw that huge pop in healthcare when on election night, when it was clear that Trump was going to win. Do you think there's going to be another, we're in for essentially another year of talking about drug pricing, you know, all the time?
You want my honest opinion?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
That's a good answer.
I mean, these testimonies, I mean, if you're, you know, if you're, you know, a click and point trader and you're waiting to hear what is said in these hearings, these confirmations, I mean, good luck to you. It's never been something that I've excelled at or even tried to excel at. I would just try and look at these stocks from a long-term perspective, and they look good. America's back up here and making new highs for the move yesterday. Trading up 2 cents here. I'll just go with my whole number theory here in GE and, or excuse me, in Merck. May have a big seller lurking here at 81. Stopped at 80.99 yesterday. Today, I would look at 80.77 as opposed to that 80.99. 80.77 represents the high close for the move. And I know this is not an all-time high in America because I had this thing a long, long time ago. And I remember dumping it. What's the all-time high? At 91.50. I think this was back in 2001, I think. I had a chance to exit this stock at like 85 or 86. Never got back in, though. But good move here. Just, you know, try and take these hearings with a grain of salt and keep an eye on your long-term perspective in the markets because that's what matters.
Yeah, and you mentioned stocks like Merck that is – you know, at recent highs, a lot of these have, you know, got hit with the overall market, but have recovered recently. And so I guess the question becomes, is it going to be just broad sector weakness? You'd have to assume that whatever is said today, it's not going to impact any one name more than it would impact the entire sector. So your IBB, your XLV, you know, your major ETFs, and just a broad sector weakness, you'd have to assume is what would come out today. If anything, I'm not, you know, I doubt the street would see, you know, single out Johnson & Johnson, although they have their own stuff going on, but, or Bristol Myers, like, or Merck or Pfizer over just the entire healthcare industry as a whole. So you'd have to assume that if anything were to come out today, it would either the street doesn't care, either we ignore what happens today, or there would be just broad sector weakness coming from the hearing.
Yeah, and you know, these stocks were part of the benefit of you know, the shift from growth to value, and that still kind of seems to be the trend here a little bit. So even if these stocks, you know, do get hit, it's been, you know, they're part of the value stocks, and so they'll attract some buying interest on declines. But the charts, especially something like Merck, gap and go since that move in February. Hard to fight the tape.
All right, it is 8:34. Let me quickly go on to Skype and grab our guest, Nick Shaheen, author of Create Income with Option Spreads and SellSpreads.com. Those are his two sites. He is our go-to options guru, gives us good strategies on how to play this market, and has good charts for us that he can whip up in like 3 seconds flat. So I'm dialing Nick Shaheen right now. I saw him in our chat, actually. I saw him in the chat last Friday, hanging out there. So I hope he answers. There we go.
Hello.
Nick, how's it going this morning?
Pretty good.
What's your take on the latest Elon SEC thing? Do you care? I don't care. I don't know why I asked you. I don't care.
I do care. I'm long. I do care.
Okay.
I'm long. I traded it actively for the last couple of months. I sold some iron condors in it, but kind of lopsided. I spoke about it, I think, 4 puts to the 1 call side, just as a hedge on the call side. Also sold some naked puts, but way below. So, but all profitable and almost all off the board. I have lingering positions, but nowhere near the prices where it's trading now. So I'm not worried about it. So, the What about this is what the SEC wants to happen. Not sure it's going to happen.
Exactly.
I'm not sure exactly what he said. And he referred to the fact that the stats have been already disclosed before. So I'm not sure how that breaks the agreement. So I'm not a lawyer. From the price action, I wouldn't worry until the recent levels that I saw there break. And I think they still have, last time I checked, a few bucks there before they get there. Let me see if I can pull them up real quick. Okay, so I would worry if they lose the 290-ish, because then they would bring another $10 leg, maybe. This is on the two-hour chart. So from an active perspective, the range in play is 302.70 versus the recent low of 290-ish. So anything inside that doesn't worry me.
We're on the line with Nick Shaheen. He's the author of Create Income with Option Spreads. Joins us on our show to give us a fundamental, technical and fundamental perspective on the markets. Just to finish up on Tesla here, are you getting a little bit more gun-shy here on writing the puts and the put spreads on this one? I mean, it seems to be a pretty steady bet. I mean, I know it's worked for you. Are you going to keep going to the well on it? Or is it just like starting to stack up again, you know, the odds against you getting caught in like a 50 or 60-point down day?
Well, the good thing about put spreads is I know exactly what I'm going to lose. And anytime I write a put spread, I don't worry about the maximum loss because I already evaluated. It's no different than you're jumping on a bicycle and you decide to jump it knowing that, okay, if I fall, I'm going to injure myself a little bit, but I'm okay with that. So that's how you evaluate the risk. You take the plunge and you manage the odds of success of that risk. So
I want to talk to you. I mean, you've been active in the markets for quite some time here, and you know as well as, you know, looking at the charts and trying to, you know, you can always look left and see what happened, but, you know, you also have to look right and make predictions. And catching turns in the market is really very important, whether or not it's from a sentiment basis or for a technical basis. And I can attest to the fact that, you know, you sat through that December decline and the, you know, the volatility, and you maintained a bullish stance here. We're looking for a recovery, but you kind of turned yesterday. And unless I'm reading your note wrong,
let me see if you read my note wrong. What did I say? What do you think I said?
You think you were looking for a bigger rally yesterday? You were a little disappointed on the news. You were looking for a little bit bigger relief rally, and that in no way are the bulls are in control. The bears are in control. There's no way I'm asserting that. But to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, you kind of turned a little bit.
No. Then I misstated I didn't communicate properly. So here's my thought on that. I thought that the rally yesterday on the news that we kicked the can would be bigger. So that was the disappointment. We were up 0.5%, but we closed on the lows. We slid into the close, I should say, and the VIX spiked 10%. So here's the thought. Do the bears know something we don't? Today, you know, so far I don't see anything of that, but I don't know about you. I had a tick in the XLF that was down to 25.56. Now, could be a glitch, but glitches like that happen and then suddenly we're there. It happened in CRM last week. We had a glitch up into 162.75, and guess where we're at yesterday, 163.50. So, and we were nowhere near that price. So that's one point. But as far as yesterday's price action, was totally normal in my opinion. I just posted my ES chart. Last week I drew a box. I said, this is where I expect the action to be. We got above the box and we're back into the box right now. So it's all normal price action. When it goes out of whack, then I start to worry. Now, headlines aside, this rally has more legs. Today we have Powell. Who knows what he's going to say? Maybe he's going to freak the banks out. So somebody may have seen the statement on the Excel that says, oh my gosh, it's going to crater rates and bonds are going to fly, and then the XLF would fall. So keep that scenario in mind today. But overall, the dips will be bought without a new shoe to drop. That's my opinion.
I don't think I was too far off. I mean, you did say you were expecting a little bit more of a relief rally. The bears came in. What are you looking for today in order to say the bears, you know, and I know, you know, I don't want to put you on a spot a day-to-day thing. But, you know, to me, it's easy. I mean, you know, your close from yesterday was 27.97. right near a psychological 2800. Your pre-market high is 2796. To me, in order for the bulls to assert, firm control over yesterday, we got to close over that 2797, maybe even 2800.
I'm going to flip it around. I think onus is on the bears to sustain the selling.
Okay.
Because the bulls are in control, and the dip overnight is, we're not at the bottom of it, and we are now at the Friday, we are above the Friday value area. So if you think the Friday action was solid, we're not even at the top of it. We're above that. So the onus is definitely on the bears to prove that they have more claws. That's actually, my opinion.
Okay. Well, actually, Friday's close was 91 and a quarter.
I'm looking at the value area from the volume profile. The value area is closer to, I'm going to eyeball it, 2786. Okay. So we are at 2790. Anything above that tells me that the whole action in Friday is support below today's levels.
Okay, right. I mean, if you go to where it started on Thursday, the Friday rally, that's a good point. So, all right, bulls and bears, that's what make market, Nick.
Yep.
Have you got down and dirty in stamps.com yet?
Oh no. I don't know what's going on there. And, you know, on the one part, it is gutsy, to say it mildly, for them to do that. But if they're really teaming up with Amazon, then there might be something good coming. I mean, I can't imagine. I really don't know. All I read is the headline is that they ditched, they cut ties with the USPS. So what are they selling? I have no idea. So I don't know the fundamentals for me to delve into the levels.
Okay.
But a candle this big, I noted it, is usually not a one-day event. And there's probably something else going to come out before I can even delve into trading it.
Okay. We're getting some tickers here for you to take to do your analysis on.
That's good.
Roku.
Oh.
I know it had the big pop after the report. Hard to call. It's not the all-time high yet here. I'd be protecting profits in this one because I don't like that candle from Friday. Nick, what's your thought?
I don't like the candle that we have from yesterday, I believe. So the doji candle yesterday is kind of usually dojis are indecisive. When they open, they try to sell, they try to rally, and then they go back to where they open saying, you know what, I have no idea what's going on here, so let me sit back. And that tells me that they're indecisive. And usually the next candle thereafter, I don't know what it's doing this morning. But also this is the Dajin Zorf from October. So the markets in general are battling the December 3rd, October, and November, October levels. We're above the December 3rd, slightly below the other two. So we're at pivots, right? And this is the ledge from which we fell, and there should be sellers just waiting. So same concept here. Definitely not a place to start longs, in my opinion. If I'm long, I'd probably trim or sell some calls against my longs. If I'm looking to get long, I'd wait out a few candles.
Okay, move on to the next one here. And we talked about this one on Friday, and I jumped the gun on the close on Friday, thinking we were going to take out that multiple highs at 24.50, and actually it was 24.40. Mr. Market helped me out yesterday. We got all the way up to 25.52 and faded here. I don't like the fade on AMD. What are you looking at here?
I was going to say, what ticker? AMD. Okay, so AMD is in a breakout that happened off of 27. I drew it, and you're not going to believe it. I drew an upside and a downside scenario because I don't know which way they're going to take it. And then you trade that direction once they break out of the zone you post for it. And I'll post it, and you can see that it's going along my upside line almost perfectly, where it spiked up and then retraced, and now it's continuing on to the goal that I set. And it's not an exact goal. This is my perception of where it should be. So now it's approaching a pivot level that dates back to last October again. So you can see it's the same battle. We're back to eyeball half towards the high to the 33. Like if I'm looking, it's about a 50% level of that. If I'm long, same as Roku, not an obvious entry point, but I would trim or sell against it. If I'm looking to get long, I'll probably wait out a little bit. AMD is not cheap, but apparently it's the new NVIDIA as far as the love of Wall Street, and I don't like it when everybody loves it.
Yeah, it made it not, I mean, I sold some stuff on the open and I regretted it, but I just kept on selling just because it is a wild stock, and it always seems like it always gives you a second chance here, but kind of faded with the market yesterday as well. Let's just do one full sweep of the retail sector here with the XRT for Mary Miller.
Okay, so, well, I just changed it and it almost didn't change. So the XRT is, the good thing about it, I don't think there's one big ticker in there that yanks it this way or the other, if the last time I checked at the composition of it. Technically, it looks like it wants to break out, but again, this is, it's going back to a ledge from, in this case, December 3rd, 4th. There was a weird candle and then whoosh, right there. So we're back to that level. Anytime we're going back to levels like that, I would suppose that there would be some sellers there. But there is some good news. I don't know. I don't think it's starting out right, because I think I saw Lowe's, Home Depot down a little bit on the earnings, and that's probably going to be sentiment towards retail. Above 46, I could probably chase it up. Below short term, below 44.70, sellers will come in to about the level of support is 43.70 or 80. Below that, there's a big chasm. But if you say that the December lows were extreme, then the bottom is near. You know, if somebody is, if I'm long, I'm not bailing on the first red tick. You know, first level to look at is 44.70 and then a dollar lower. First level they get excited about is 46 or higher. It's actually 45.90 something or higher.
How about for Abner's boy here? Have you ever looked at GEOS here? Holy macro. Did we get some – I see a big red bar here. Did they have earnings or something here, Spencer? Can you check GEOS here? It just had a big drop. Let me see if it's
– Are you looking at the right –
GEOS, yeah.
I don't know what that is, so
I'm not seeing, seeing a big drop.
It is Geospace Tech Corp.
I'm not seeing the big drop this morning.
I'm not seeing anything on it, so
yeah.
Maybe it was just a print on the close. After the close, someone printed an odd lot. Anyways, take a look at this one. It's a oil supplier. They company that supplies, you know, the big companies with their rigs to do the underwater exploration. Nice little rally in it.
Okay. That's above my pay grade as far as fundamentals.
Okay.
The chart is one of those THTH, you know, too high to chase at this point, but too hot to short. I don't know enough about it. You had some sort of a, you know, whatever you call them, a burst and then a little dip and then another burst. So I would assume that that was the end of the rally. And if you look back, if I'm looking back right, December levels, this is about it, and from that levels it fell hard. So can you assume that there's a lot of supply there? This level has been pivotal if I'm looking back to March of 17, so obviously not going to be butter, I don't think, but it's bullish. I wouldn't short it for any reason unless I know something about it.
Okay, what about this is an old boring stock here, but it's part of the XLF. You mentioned Bank America, BAC.
BAC is so active, and it always disappoints me with the actual move of the price. So it is, it has a bullish pattern, some sort of an inverse head and shoulder, but I wouldn't chase it unless it goes above 29.80. But, you know, I don't get excited about the banks these days just because Wall Street hates them. They always, the meme is still alive. I can't believe it, that they can't rally. So you have that going against you. So I really, if I want to chase it, I'd probably sell puts in it and hope I'd own it. There's a big gap down to 26, yep. 90 something.
Yep.
So keep that in mind. So the trigger for that would be losing the lowest stick, which is 28 eyeball. Keep that in mind. If I'm long, I'd be out at 28, so I don't, you know, fill the gap. But it's not a good, it's not an expensive stock to own if you get put the stock. So if you're selling puts or put spread, I probably wouldn't defend the put spread. I'll take the stock. I'm pretty sure I'll get out of it or put it to work over time. It's only an 11 PE, probably selling close to book.
Okay. A stock related to Tesla, KNDI, they got approved to sell electric cars in the U.S. I can't confirm or deny that, but had a nice pop to $9 here. A little bit on the fade, KNDI, Candy Technologies Group.
I thought you were going to ask me about NIO, like you did last time. I'm long NIO. I don't know anything about this, and the chart doesn't give me anything about it except that they tried this level and failed back in June of last year. They're about this level here. The candle a few days ago is kind of weird. If I'd be a buyer.
You don't have to have an opinion.
I'd be a buyer of puts for a trade and see what happens. But I don't know enough about it to make it a conviction buy. It'll be like a lottery ticket, a cheap put, probably 20, 30, 40 cents, whatever it will cost. And I'll be out at 50% loss, if anything, if I have a chance. But there's no conviction long at this point. Yeah, if you love it, if you know about it, you have to plug your nose and buy it, kind of like the people did in NIO. And they got rewarded pretty nicely.
Talk NIO, and then we'll let you go.
Okay, NIO, I think we mentioned it the other day. I'm not chasing it with calls. I sold puts, and they're put to work. So I collected, I forget how much it was, 70 cents from memory. They're down about 25 cents to buy back and close. I could do that. So to give people perspective on if I did 10 contracts, that was about $700 in profit total if they die for maximum gains. They still have a few weeks on them. I can just buy them back and give back 25% just so I don't leave the risk open for cheap. If I can buy that for pennies, I usually don't let it die for maximum gains, because that's when you have, oh man, I should have
covered that one. Yeah. Okay. All right. You got one for him, Spencer?
Well, I just want to know, Nick, I know you don't have a Tesla, but are you going to buy NIO?
I'm a gearhead. I need a rumble. No.
Okay.
Let me tell you, my car. I own a 1997 old cop car, and a 1997, and then a 1972 old international pickup. So I need the rumbles below me, and the less technology, the better.
What's that cop car? Is that a
Ford Taurus?
It's a Grand Marquis. My license plate is Racer Nick. So
we know that. Okay.
So, he gets his Twitter handle from his license plate, or maybe the other way around. In any case, all right. Nick Shaheen, create income with option spreads and sell spreads.com. As always, Nick, thanks for the insights, and we'll talk to you again later in the month or next month.
Looking forward.
All right. Joel, 8:54 here. Where are we at in the S&P?
We're quiet. We are. We're just kind of hanging out during this pre-market session. Some economic data came out at 8:30. Really didn't seem to move the market. But what I like is that we're hanging here at mid-range on the session. It's right here at the 2790 level. So it's a soft number, but we'll determine whether or not we go up and test that close at 2797 or go down and test that morning low at 2783.25. You still got more economic data coming out at 10 a.m. And is that when Jerome Powell starts to speak as well?
Yes, it is.
So a lot of different factors going on in the market today here. Not great news for Macy's here. We have now erased the gains from the session. We are down a penny. 3 million shares have traded here in letter M. And, man, we're hanging out too close to this low of the move for me here for the longs. That low of the move coming in at 23.95. That was your low from Friday, and then you had another low at 24.05. So Macy's just hanging here above some critical support after its earnings report.
All right, we have a number of interesting ratings this morning, the most interesting of which is probably Caterpillar. They are getting the double downgrade from UBS. They skipped over neutral. They went from buy straight to sell.
Wow. It's a big move. Big move from a big firm. I had a nice run up here. I mean, they picked a good time. Buyers are now trapped in this one. Pre-market low comes in at 135 even. And what do you have here on the dailies? On the dailies, ooh, there you go. You got a matching low at 135 even. That was the low on the 19th, but below that, another buck drop, buck 30 drop to 133.68, 131.27 here. Just have to let the dust settle here. After really a big analyst move, after a very, very nice run. And as I said, a lot of people, they're trapped. Yesterday, you broke out, went all the way to 142.55, faded off the close a little bit. Fill the gap from yesterday. You need to get to 140.18.
A couple other downgrades. These are to neutral. CenturyLink, CTL, downgraded Bank America from buy to neutral. And Foot Locker, downgraded from Pivotal Research from buy to hold. So CTL and
SM. Yeah. Boy, and Windstream, I don't know how closely they're related, but Windstream filed for bankruptcy yesterday. Yeah. So I'd be careful on this CTL. I think they bottom ticked this off the initial downgrade. So 1270 was your tick earlier this morning. Low of the move comes in at 1274. You're only 30 cents away from there. You know, take out the low of the move. You got to go. If somehow this thing can muster a rally, see if the sellers that were lurking at 1357 and 67 the last 2 days sessions. Of course, also after trading in the red here, you want to see if this thing can even go green on the session. Yesterday's close, 1317.
And then Exact Sciences catching an upgrade this morning from Goldman Sachs to buy. We know if any firm can move a stock in the pre-market with a rating, it is Goldman Sachs, and they are moving Exact Sciences this morning.
Exactly. Full disclosure, I do own this one of my portfolios. Even more true disclosure, Lisa picked it.
You blamed her for, was it the L Brands? You blamed her for L Brands.
Yes. Yeah. Well, now I'm giving her credit for Exact Sciences.
All right.
I have no idea what to tell you on this thing. I've wanted to sell it so many times. I'm just not going to render an opinion. I'll just give you the pre-market high here at 96 even. That takes out the former all-time high at 93 even. So I would use 93 as support. And then if you're looking to sell the the pre-market high, that comes in, as I said, at 96 even. Big move here from Goldman Sachs.
And one initiation that caught my eye, Intellistat is catching initiation this morning from Evercore to outperform ticker I. And it is popping.
It popped, but then it also dropped. The initial 26.80, and then I look at this going to the daily here. I see this candle where you got up to 26.95, and you cannot hold that gain here. Settled the day at 23.58. So I think people get another reset here, selling this in a 26 handle. Just keep an eye here, 26.95, if you're really looking for more on this one. That was your February 6th high. S&P's leaking here just a little bit here, losing the 50% mid-range on the session. We have Trump arriving in Vietnam, so you can, I don't know if there'll be any headlines coming out of that, but a lot of things going on the Hill, also with drug stocks here, so just a lot of different factors to consider here in today's market.
One more downgrade, actually. Children's Place catching a downgrade. PLCE downgraded from at Citigroup from buy to neutral. And Citi had been – they've been bullish this one for quite a while.
Really?
We don't have a downgrade on Children's Place and Benzinga Pro. I have to go back until March of 2018 to see our last downgrade in this stock. Citigroup had a buy on this one going back since last March. They've had a buy, and now they're going down to neutral.
I'm not sure about what Citigroup's doing. I'm looking at the stock broke out from trouble at 92.70. They had three highs in that area. It's just sitting above that right now. So it does not look like that support is going to hold. Maybe you got a gap fill here at 92.62. So I said, this thing better get away from this level right here, right now, or you could be taking a look at this in the lower 90s. Your three-day low is 90.38. But let's see if the buyers step in here at the old resistance.
All right. On that note, that'll do it for today's show. Thanks to everyone who joined us both on YouTube and premarket.benzinga.com. If you missed any part of it, catch our podcast. We're on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, and Google Podcasts, or just watch the show on youtube.com/BenzingaTV. Thanks to our guest, Nick Shaheen. Please remember, all the information from our show is for informational purposes only and not meant to be investing advice. On tomorrow's show, we're going to be joined by Kenny Glick. Hit the Bid Radio is his website, where he gives his, call it, colorful analysis.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah. We might get our retail expert on tomorrow, Ryan Hopefully. Kraber. But he has a busy schedule this week, so we may put Kenny back on Thursday, but we will keep you guys informed tomorrow morning. So, Spencer, anything else?
No, but it's pretty much it. Keep an eye on your healthcare stocks today with the testimony. Keep an eye on what Powell was saying as well. And everyone have a good day, and we'll see you on Wednesday.